handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
A very good Tuesday. Yearling buyers. The yearling market starts today. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebeck.com. Yesterday, the racing age sale and quite a few runners changing hands, a little bit of everything, some broodmare prospect types as well, but at the top of the market, at the top of the list, some familiar names, including that Kuchar that went for $500,000. Steve Young was active yesterday. In fact, took down three of the top seven, maybe, something like that. And we'll talk about it with Jessica Martini. You know what we say. It's never too early for a martini when it's Jessica Martini from the Thoroughbred Daily News. It makes me laugh every time I say it. there were quite a few, honestly, amazing numbers. It just shows you the demand for, you know, for runners, for ready-made racehorses is high. And the kind of an unquenchable demand, in fact, looking at these numbers. So we'll get some opinions and some thoughts from Jess. And then at 10 o'clock this morning, the yearling season begins, the July sale, of course. And a lot to consider here, including first crop sires. If you have not had a chance to peruse the catalog or bring it up online, the kind of names I brought up yesterday with Kenny McPeak that will be closely watched, and that includes what Vino Rosso, certainly, right, and Catalina Cruiser, we've got his first babies, and kind of just going down the pinhook list. One of the great services that the TDN provides, that pinhook guide, a lot of fun to take a look at, in this case, what weanlings and short yearlings fetched and then are being spun around and offered here. And just looking at that, there are a few six-figure, just a smattering of six-figure. Practical Joke filly, hip 132, that Glencrest bought. And how about 135 for Matoli, one of the early hips today. Hip 29, Colt. Spin to Win Stables, Trudy Vainot. Bought at the November sale. $130,000 for another Matoli, actually. Woodford. Looks like a buyback. So, and here's $100,000 Vino Rosso out of Snagglepuss from the November sale. Arctic Bloodstock. It'd be very interesting today. We'll see what the first yearling offerings, and I haven't looked at the outs, but the catalog had 300 in. So full day of horse sale starting at 10 o'clock, and you can tune in. Hell, you can buy. There's still plenty of time to get qualified and buy yourself one of these yearlings today. Audible, I'm noticing Audible, right? These are Audible's first offerings as yearlings. And, you know, then there's the second croppers that are already lighting it up. Bolt Oro, there's Bolt Oros I'm seeing here. And Motowns. And more. All right. We'll leave this to Jess Martini. Let Jessica kind of walk you through. No reason for me to steal her thunder, right? The big news, of course, yesterday, and what we were certainly excited about and following along and betting along, kind of spotty play yesterday. I did not get heavily involved on the multi-side. I just took a couple of shots at prices. And I will go ahead and go jump right to the wildest result of the day. It was in one of the cheaper races. It was in that claiming seventh that we discussed with Jessica Paquette, and a lot of good advice from Jessica, and not the least of which came with the Phil Schoenthal's stake winner, right? That was her best bet of the day, and Determined Kingdom kind of turned into a lot of people's best bet and got hammered down to 3-2 and won like an absolute champ. Trevor McCarthy aboard that for D. Hatman Thoroughbreds and Kingdom Bloodstock. And we might reach out to Phil, actually. The craziest result, and I... one of those moments where you just, you think, what else could I have done? if you just were listening in the last hour or so, you know, you heard the conversation that Jess and I had. And when we got to the seventh, she acknowledged, and I completely agreed, that it was a difficult spot. And it was really one of the races, I thought, in the pick five that was going to make it challenging. Because there was a lot of, you know, there were a lot of places you could lean, like Largent, you know, who won later, and you know, some horses that you figured you could rely on, and Largent was one of them in the Ned Evans. But I saw that Free Flame, Sean Duffy's horse on the rail, was going to maybe be isolated turf sprint speed, right? Well, for whatever reason, it was 20-1. I thought, all right, that, you know, that's going to be just completely gets ignored and goes off at 60-1. I was like, it's one of, in fact, the price was so high, you're saying to yourself, what's wrong with this picture? What am I, this horse is, you know, just not, is being completely ignored. I mean, it's a turf sprint, and there was real chance that he was low in speed. Sure enough, watching here, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, you're going to score here. Only to be caught by a 50-1 shot. This came up, what, last month, or at some point, there was another big price scenario that we recently, I forget who it was I had the conversation with, maybe Seth, but you know, when I was first starting and you know, trying to formulate an approach as a player, one of the things I would do was bet a horse to win and then back wheel, you know, especially a price, back wheel them with all. And you know, then as you learn and as you develop your approach and so forth, you learn that's kind of a foolhardy way to go about it. Well, the $1 exacta paid $3,460. 50-1 shot over a 60-1 shot. Free Flame was 48-40 to place, and I got nothing. I got absolutely nothing here. It's kind of one of those, you know, this horse is too big of a price not to play. You know, just sort of watching, and you know, you're keeping an eye on things and trying to pick an I sat there just blankly staring at the result. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Amazing. So, and I'm just curious now, now that I'm saying this, $93,000 in the Exacta pool. So, that actually gives me an opportunity to mention something that is transpiring on Twitter, and I want to give credit to, let me pull it up, actually, while we're in this vein. Want to give credit to AHP Drew. AHP Drew, I tweeted it this morning, came across it last night, and then had a chance to, you know, see where things had gone. Drew has taken it upon himself to tremendous credit to take the existing grid of takeout, you know, figures throughout the industry, and he's updating. He's basically going through materials and also asking for help from the horse playing community to update. And I don't think this has been done since, I don't know. I mean, Hannah, I know, had one for a while, and Brisnet had a compilation of takeouts, but really a thoughtful and invaluable effort by Drew to do this for people. So you've got, if you want to look for his feed, it's AHP Drew, A capital A H P D R E W, AHP Drew. And in fact, let me follow Drew. And it if there's anything that you know about, if there's a racetrack that you're tracking that you know, and there's any, you know, he's asking everybody to help him, and he's making iterations as he goes, plus some notes. So anyway, it's a terrific service, and he's also got it kind of color-coded, you know, based on super attractive takeout rates, you know, like the low teen numbers on the multis, etc. And on the whips too. He acknowledges, you know, the low whips, and then it goes up. It goes from dark green to light green to pale or clear to light red to dark red in the terms of low to high. Anyway, I'm just looking, the takeout of Colonial on Exact is 22%. So call it 20,000. So 70,000 was what's out there. So there was $20 worth of Exacta plays on this particular 10-1 Exacta at Colonial yesterday. 3,460. The 10-cent super paid 2,475. The try paid 52,000. That was a dollar try, and the try pool was 66,000. That's a either 2 50-cent, right? They take 50 cents, I think, for their right 50-cent tries, right? So 2 50-cent tries or $1 try that hit this. Unbelievable. So anyway, I me garnished, as we say, Ugats, nothing. You get nothing. Somebody needs to put up the Willy Wonka, put up the Wonka gif, right? Good day, sir. You drank fizzy lifting drinks. Charlie, you've won. In this case, Steve, you lost. The rest of this action. Congratulations to Anthony Aguirre Jr. and Anthony with his first stake win, a first time starter that he popped in the Tyson Gilpin. How about that, Chambeau? What a great! There were actually a number of nice stories yesterday. And this a homebred of Sam English, and I saw Anthony profusely thank Sam English for the opportunity, and that Gary's young and really just getting started. This was, I think, start number 62. He's had 62 starters this year. And take a peek at his total numbers. This will also be an opportunity to see how many Gary's there there have been, right? In the training ranks. Let me see here. We got this was 124th start for a Gary and his first stake win. So congratulations to Anthony. I found him on Twitter, followed him. He was excited. Let's do the stakes results, actually, while we're at it. I should note, by the way, early on the card, right? How about the two wins? Did I not? Allison Fulmer, right? Yeah, Allison Fulmer with wins in the first at a huge price, 27-1 to start the action. The Happy Giant, a New York bred, obviously, by the late Frost Giant, that Allison Fulmer owns. And then later, she won again. Chris Block with Mo Claire's for Bob Lothenbach. That was in the Brookmead at 5-2, upsetting Urban Fairy Tale. The Wilkes runner for Winchester Place at 1-2. And, you know, there was the allowance. That was another, you know, they had a couple of good ideas, I thought, yesterday at Colonial. Hammer Lane was a horse that I thought, you know, we talked with Jess that was going to be a pace player. And sure enough, not only a pace player, but a winner, wire to wire. That was in the dirt race that started the Pick Five. And the thing about Hammer Lane, 6-1 morning line, and got bet down to favoritism. So this might have been a spot where Andy says they knew. Sure seemed to know, right? The sixth race, and I mentioned Phil Schoenthal and the best bet that Jess offered. Schoenthal with Determined Kingdom got exactly the trip, got a little bit of a pace to run into. Terrific, patient Trevor McCarthy ride, who basically sat mid-back and, you know, then took over at will and won off by half a dozen widening lengths. That was in the punchline, and a bit of an emotional scene, too, because apparently Phil has recently, in the last, I don't know, earlier in the day or in recent days, lost a barn favorite, very sadly, to Wobbles, which is rough. For those that don't know the term, Wobbles is a neurologic onset illness that happens to mature horses and is a bit of a mystery to this day even. And certainly the most famous Wobbles victim, General Duke of Calumet, a horse that Calumet, if you read Wild Ride, staff at Calumet will, at the time in the 40s and into the 50s, believed he was a bigger talent than Citation, and they believed on the farm that was the best horse that Calumet ever produced. Ill-fated was going to be the Derby favorite, 57, and was nursing a hoof issue and had to scratch. Of course, there's a whole story involving that and the fact that Calumet still won with Iron Liege, but that gets into little Dr. Hardhill. And anyway, so Phil, it was kind of an uplifting victory for the, and a great way to start the meet. for the Schoenthal barn. And then in the nightcap, I was kind of lucky, actually. I talked about that Smile Brian, who I thought, I won't say laid over the field, but certainly, you know, was a horse that dropping down to that level made a lot of sense and did not wins and did not get claimed, but probably should have been DQ'd. So for those that came along on Smile Brian, when you get taken down next time and you don't think you should have, just remember, well, we got to stay up with Smile Brian. So that's one of the ones that you pat the money in your pocket and you say, I was fortunate. So be fair. Be fair about those circumstances. And then finally, with that, I should mention the way because of the big price in the seventh, you ended up with a pick five that paid $9,400. That was for a buck, actually. So $4,700 and change. And the pick four, again, they're giving reporting in a dollar instead of 50 cents, but $2,553. So $1,280 for 50 cents. So some big balloons. If you were able to find the crazy 50-to-1 shot, and actually going back, and I was looking at the I went back to look at the figs, and that winner in the seventh was not as ridiculous or impossible. Luca drew the ace, Andrew Dion, horse that that he owns too, and he bred a field commission gelding, a 5-year-old. If you go back, that race at Tampa, the 25-non-3, yeah, that fit. So this was technically a drop down, and Luca drew the ace. Both of the 1-2 finishers. I mean, Free Flame, I thought was a pace opportunity. Luca drew the ace. I missed. I mean, this was a crazy, crazy opportunity. Fun opening day, obviously a Colonial, and they had very nice handle and a record opening day, and seemed like things went nicely. The two jump races I should slip in before Jess Martini joins us, and Case is going to call today. He thinks he got those pesky phone module straightened out. So here, Kay, give Jess a call, and we'll get going. We're also going to talk to Kelly Von Hemel here in this first hour. In fact, let me give you the rundown as we get going. Andy Serling later, the big Saratoga season kickoff visit, and I'm sure Andy has handicapped. I went through myself as well, so I've got some ideas, and we'll see what Andy's early thoughts are, these first two cards. Gavin O'Connor, and what a great story. I'm sure we'll talk to Michael W. McCarthy soon enough. But when it came to Actuators Win, and by the way, I put up the figures for Indy. They showed up overnight. It took a few days. And when it came to Actuator, it's a great story. Gavin O'Connor bought this horse, had been tracking, was intimately aware of Actuator, and bought this horse for nothing. I mean, for sometimes they say ham sandwich. He didn't even pay a ham sandwich. It was sort of a package of Oscar Mayer Cotto salami. This was crazy. And next thing you know, the horse bursts on the scene with the maiden win and attracts the attention, of any number of potential buyers. Amazing. And it's a big score. So Gavin O'Connor is going to join us, and we'll talk about what transpired with Actuator. Great story. And Chris Griffin is going to be here. There's a great at stake today. You may not be aware, but the Dr. Penny, the great Dr. Penny at Parks today. So we'll talk to Griff, and we'll check up with Papo, who is now married. Papo Morales joins us from AmWest and Form to Win. There's really cool things happening. The Form to Win product ready to just about ready to relaunch, and there's all kinds of neat things happening very quickly. Arch Kingsley with Ancient Times, a Carpe Diem, five-year-old gelding, wire-to-wire in that first maiden race yesterday over the jumps. And then Kerry Brion for the Willises, Paul and Molly, with a new approach filly, four-year-old, and the maiden breaker in that second jump race yesterday at Colonial. So underway at New Kent, and they're underway or just about to be underway at Newtown Paddocks, where first set of yearlings are going to go through the ring today. Jessica Martini joins us from the Thoroughbred Daily News. Jess, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
I'm terrific. And, this is always kind of exciting. First crop and the first set of yearlings. Next month at Saratoga, of course, we'll have one of the real elite yearling sales of the season. But before we do any of that, let's get a couple of thoughts in on yesterday's Horses of Racing Age sale results. It seems like the demand for ready-made horses is insatiable.
That's the exact thing that came, the takeaway from last night's races. Yeah, if you have an in-form horse, a young in-form horse, you're going to get paid at these sales. I think it was the 10th edition of the Horses of Racing Age sale, and it's really... You know, everyone talks about the spot on the calendar right before Saratoga and Del Mar. People want horses that they can buy and go right on to these big races, these boutique meets. So that was borne out again last night.
Talk about the buyers, I think, is probably the key to this. And I saw some names that are familiar. Then we saw a few summaries, including some Steve Young purchase that had undisclosed client monikers attached to it. What did you make of the buying bench, as they say?
It was a very diverse buying bench. I mean, you had people, you know, from East Coast, West Coast, international buyers were active. I think it just was a very deep buying bench. You mentioned Steve Young. He bought four horses for his favorite client, undisclosed, and all four, same client, and they're all going to the New York circuit. We don't know a trainer yet, but he was the big buyer on the day, and I think Windstar was a big seller. They had the top lot that they sold from their racing program. So it was a really deep buying bench.
Well, when you say we don't know what trainer, I'm going to guess that his initials are TAP.
Possibly. That's a good guess.
I'm going to go way out on a limb.
He really sold it, though. When we asked, he really sold it and said, I don't even know a trainer. So,
yeah, he doesn't know what trainer. Okay.
I can only report what I'm told, Steve.
All right, we'll see. We'll see how true that is. I thought one storyline that was worth mentioning in here, and I think Christy wrote the snippet about the SF bloodstock. It's not a dispersal, but it's a pruning. And when you had Newgrange, right, and Montebello, you basically they're shopping for stallions, and basically taking stock of where things are, and Newgrange and Montebello have new homes.
Exactly, they're taking money off the table, and it's perfect timing for them because obviously now we're starting to buy yearlings, and that's what their focus has been. So they have this extra money. Now they can go and buy more yearlings to look for that top stallion prospect that they're trying to buy.
What else caught your eye? What other storylines? It seemed like there was a kind of a nice middle group. Let's say horses from 65,000 to 150, 180, in that range. I mean, we had what, maybe a dozen sell for 200,000 to 500, but it seemed like there were some. I mean, we'll see how reasonable those prices turn out to be based on results.
Exactly.
Right? But, I think that's part of the whole story, Jess. When we're looking at Colonial and, Kentucky Downs a few weeks ago, laying out their purse structure, and when you're talking about the kind of purses that are being offered, it does justify some of these kinds of purchases, right?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, the focus is always on the big meets, the Saratogas and the Del Mars, but there are also horses that are kind of under the radar that maybe don't fit in those big meets, but they can move to a regional market, and so there are horses for those type of buyers here as well. So there really is something for everyone. It's not just the horses.
Well, with the horses of racing age redistributed, and we'll watch for these to turn up. We'll see how many of these are going to be identifiable at Saratoga, for instance, and that'll be one of the places that they'll turn up, and I'm sure Del Mar as well. So we'll keep an eye. Let's turn our attention to today's activity. 300 in the catalog, probably 65% of those will sell today, give or take, or at least go through the ring. Give everybody an overview, a sale preview of the first yearlings to be offered.
Well, the Phasic July sale traditionally starts with the freshman sires, and I think we have about 80-some-odd yearlings by first crop sires to start off the sale today. And I think we've got horses by Yoshida, who people are talking about what nice physicals they are. There are horses by Matoli, whose weanling sold so well last year, and Catalina Cruiser has his first yearling. Vino Rosso, Omaha Beach. So those are going to be the first ones to watch. It's the first time these yearlings are going through the ring. It should be interesting to see how they do. And actually, my colleague Christy, pointed out St. Patrick's Day has two horses in that first section today, and he obviously is a full brother to American Pharoah. He's started his stud career in Florida, and Florida has had some very useful stallions in the last few years. I know Gervin this year has gotten off to a hot start. So St. Patrick's Day might be another interesting one to watch from Florida.
One of those, it just happens that I've got the catalog in my hand, and when I thumbed through the hip 55 is where I landed. It's hysterical that you mentioned St. Patrick's Day. Here's hip 55.
He's not the obvious one to talk about, Steve.
No, but he's not. That actually is a topic that Sid Fernando and I invariably touch on when it comes to lesser performing siblings of very prominent horses, and there's plenty of heritage and success associated with those types. So there's real potential for St. Patrick's Day, and here's a bay colt out of First Samurai mare up for grabs, and this is the Family of Society selection, actually. Third dam, love,
yeah,
from mom. Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that colt is he was purchased just at OBS this past winter for $40,000 by Joe Pickerel, who is a big two-year-old pinhooker. So he bought this horse as a short yearling, and he's putting him back in the ring already.
That's a story, Jess, that I've brought up with you as pressures and demands for the most fashionable pedigrees when it comes to pinhooking yearlings to two-year-olds, as those pressures have grown. I mean, I I think I've said this to you many times in recent years whenever we've talked about weanling to yearling pinhooks, but Glennie Kane Oakford, I remember, you know, the first major emergence of that concept. And, you know, whenever demand is high, you know, those that don't have deep, deep pockets, they've got to make adjustments. And that's one of the adjustments that we've seen. You know, buying weanlings for, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50,000, and trying to turn them around as yearlings. And that's it became a whole new market.
Yeah, I think anytime you can diversify and do things a little differently to find those bargains and that extra good results, that's probably a good thing. And I think I saw a few that Joe Pickerel had in this catalog that he's pinhooking that he bought earlier this year.
Well, and there's a couple of interesting ones. Even Stuart Morris today, early on, he's got a Maximus Mischief Filly that he paid 30 for at Keeneland November. He also has got a Copper Bullet, and Copper Bullet is represented in this catalog. The hip number 11 was an $8,000 Keeneland November purchase, and here's a Copper Bullet hip 54 as well. This one was not a pinhook, but that happens to be opposite the St. Patrick's Day. Pretty funny. So, we lost Jess. All right, let's try to get Jess back, and we'll touch on a few other potential hips to watch as Casey gets her back. Here's Stuart Morris also with a Bolt Doro Colt that he paid $20,000 for, hip 214. This was at Keeneland in January as a short yearling. That's interesting. And, of course, Bolt Doro just is really kind of bolted toward the top of the market, obviously, with his runners. Jess is back with us. No problem. A couple of other. I just was looking at the Bolt Doros that are being spun back, and in fact, Stuart Morris with one of those. Talk about some of the hips to watch that you noticed from a pedigree standpoint that might get some added attention and could end up at the top of the chart later today.
Well, you know, the July show is more known for its physicals more than pedigrees. I think people come here to buy the physical more than the pedigree. There are a lot of pinhookers that come to this sale, and so they're obviously more focused on the physical and what that horse can be look like next spring than the pedigree itself. I did see a couple interesting updates to some of the yearlings. There's a Air Force Blue colt who's a half to Howling Time, who was just second in the Matt Wynn. That Paramount has, and Gainsway has the only gun runner in the catalog, and that horse's full sister was just second in the Indiana Oaks. So those were two big updates that I saw just thumbing through the catalog.
Very good. Well, we talked, we're going to talk in a little bit to Gavin O'Connor and get some of his thoughts. He's working at doing his day job first right now, but is going to head over to the sale too. So we'll see what he's got to say. And, of course, all the coverage. Who's on the sales grounds today from TDN?
It's me and Christy, just the two of us.
Very good. Well, we'll be following.
I'm going to go get caffeinated now.
That a girl. Jess Martini, everybody, and the great coverage in the TDN. She and Christy will be combing the grounds, and it's always a little easier at Phasig than it is at Keeneland. You don't have to go tromping up and down the hill.
Now we've got steps at Phasig, though.
All right. Well, then you get your steps in.
Yeah, that's true. Thanks, Steve.
I love it. Jess, are we going to see you this summer at Saratoga? You're going to come to town?
I'll be there, definitely.
Outstanding. All right. Jessica Martini, everybody, and the TDN, of course, the terrific coverage that they provide, and just top to bottom. And go print the go print that pinhook guide. It's a big resource, and you can follow along. Tomorrow we will get a recap. We'll certainly get Sid's thoughts, I'm sure, at the sale, but of the sale results. But we'll also talk to Nicole Russo. All right, Nicole will do the honors on the recap. All right, as we bring you the best of the sales coverage. All right, where are we headed next? We've got Kelly Von Hemel. All right, so let me case. Let me I'll tell you. Let me offer you this, because I don't think, well, you might actually. We talked to Kelly early in the year. He had another, I don't think it was this horse, right? I think it was, I'll have to go check and see who it was that Kelly had another nice stake winner earlier in the year, right? Here, I'll tell you right away as Casey brings in KVH. No, it was. It was, in fact. It was, in fact, the Iowa Derby winner. Yeah. And while we do that, let me get the chart out. From Prairie Meadows, right? There it is, Prairie Saturday. And there it is, Ain't Life Grand. All right, beautiful. RPM Thoroughbreds, and it was the debut, right? It was the, or was just the breakthrough performance. I guess it was, I guess it was when he won that Radke Memorial, maybe, last fall. Yeah, one off by 10. Well, this is now a serious, this is clearly a serious three-year-old. I think Kelly's there. Kelly, good morning. Kelly Von Hemel.
Yes, sir.
Hey, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
We talked, at least I know I communicated with you about Ain't Life Grand, and what a great story this is for an Iowa bred to win the Iowa Derby.
Yeah, you know, after we talked last year when he won the open stake as a two-year-old, this is kind of the race we was hoping we'd get to, that he was quality enough to run in it, and we were fortunate enough to get it done.
Unbelievable. Let's remind everybody about the backstory here, and it's a homebred, not this time. So that part of the story, that was a very clever mating with the Medaglia d'Oro mare, Cat Doro, and give everybody the backstory.
Well, Mr. Shattuck, he's been a great customer. Him and Peggy have been great customers of ours for many years, and we got lucky, and he usually has a few more mares, and he bought this mare and in full to Fort Larner, then he bred her back and got not this time through Jason Luch and the guys, and he's just a really nice colt, and she's back in full to not this time right now.
So there'll be that's great. So there'll be a full sibling, and right away, I mean, anytime a horse wins first time out, that's usually a pretty good indication. Kind of reacted, it seems, because you brought him back on fairly short rest in that Iowa Stallion race. But then came the open company win, and you obviously knew you had something pretty nice. Take us to the fall and the way you plotted out this three-year-old campaign.
Yeah, basically, we knew he's a colt that wants to go two turns. So when we started back up, we got him up early in Hot Springs, but we didn't get in a big hurry because first of all, in no conditions left, and we knew we just, like you said, we really were pointing for this race all along. We just wanted to get to the Iowa Derby best we could, so we got a good prep and a sprint stake there in Hot Springs. We come in here for the Prairie Mile. He didn't break as sharp as we wanted and got a little farther back and had some long speed, but he did run actually a pretty good race, and we knew going a mile of 16th, he'd hopefully step forward again, and he did.
Unbelievable. The thing that's super notable and now gives you, I would think, and the Shattucks, a real, I don't want to call it a quandary, a 98 Beyer, Kelly, and this puts him in pretty nice company on the three-year-old front.
Yeah, we all the numbers have come back really strong for his race. We beat a really nice horse, and Mike Tomlinson's horse. But, you know, all we could do to get by him. He ran a great race also. But with the numbers this strong, we're enjoying the win here for a couple days, but we need to sit down and try to figure out what the next moves are. We're just not sure we got options here. We can maybe go on because we still feel like a mile and eighth is better for him. And at some time, we'd sure like to try and get some better horses and see if he belongs.
Yes, it's funny. Yesterday with Kenny McPeak, you know, Kenny, we talked about Rattle and Roll coming out of the Indiana Derby, and he said he's going to keep, you know, he's going to basically, you know, utilize kind of the Mid-America three-year-old exclusive opportunities, you know, culminating with something like the Oklahoma Derby. It sounds like you've got, you know, kind of a similar mindset, although at some point you obviously you're going to have to try the heavy heads with this horse.
Yeah, and like I said, we sure, you know, maybe we need another race to kind of solidify everything that we wanted to try, but somewhere down there I'd like to run Adam going a mile eighth or a mile a quarter and see if he's that quality of colt. We know he's close, but we had, you know, until you actually do it, you know, you got to find out, and hopefully that he is sometime. But we sure want to try him with the one time.
You know, I wanted to check. There's a two-year-old. There's Iowa Club, a Munnings colt. Then the mare missed the season, and there's a Golden Sense weanling filly, and
right.
Now you mentioned that has been bred back to Not This Time. Do you have that colt, that Munnings colt?
Yes sir, we run him the other day. He's a little more immature than the Eight Life Grand was at this time last year, but he's not as nice as colt, but he's got some quality to him. We run him the other day, kind of got mucked out leaving the gate. Made up a lot of ground down the lane, and he just sort of, he's another colt. This mare is going to throw horses that run two turns with life, because distance is going to be their best friend. And just the farther they go, the better they seem to be.
Well, and I'm just noticing actually this family, Cat Doro was unraced herself, but her dam, Cat Moves, was a very, very nice. That she won. She was a grade one horse, Cat Moves. And I want to say, you know, it's funny, yesterday was opening day of Colonial, and they ran the Ned Evans. If I'm not mistaken, Cat Moves was a Ned Evans product. So, and I was lauding his influence, his long-term influence. You know, the one thing about this, Kelly, 11-1, 25-20, and you know, those that believed, they did pretty well at the windows on Saturday night.
Yes, I get, you know, like I said, he didn't run quite the race we thought he would the time before in the prep, so I understood that it was he hovered around 18-20-1 the whole time, and of course, I wasn't paying attention to that until after the race, and he went down 11-1. So there was a few people that took advantage of the price there late and got rewarded for it.
I love it. You know, you mentioned Mike Tomlinson's very nice Conaher, who was trying this kind of company really for the first time, and Mike said he's going to turn him back. He just, the two turns, a little bit out of his maybe a little bit out of his range. We'll look for Conaher back around one turn. And I guess the only, Kelly, the only thing that was missing here was the Iowa Derby. We got to get a grading back for it. Currently it's listed. The other two big stakes on the night, the Cornhusker and the Oaks, they've retained their grading. I guess that was the only part of this that was a little incomplete.
I would agree, and maybe we can go on and do some good the rest of the year. Maybe we can get that back for him.
There you go. And you mentioned when I saw the Shattuck name as part of RPM Thoroughbreds, I thought about you see Peggy's name pretty regularly. Give us a little bit more about the Shattucks, because I see their name and I don't know much about them.
Ray and Peggy, they were actually, when I moved here in 96, when Exarban closed up, they were my first customers here in Iowa. They had two horses at the time. And through the years, they used to carry 4, 5, 6 broodmares, and we've had some really good success with Red Hot Gold, run out over $500,000, and Kamala Carson and Peak in the Rainbow. We've had some really nice horses through the years. They've kind of scaled back a little bit, and this is the only mare they've got right now. But they're homegrown products here. They live in Iowa. They're great, great people. They fell in love with the sport going over to Omaha every weekend at Exarban. And when they built the track here in Free Meadows, they want to get involved.
How about that? That's great. That's terrific. So they've got to be excited, and actually they got a filly. So if they're gonna keep going forward, let's see. The mare is 16, so she's got a few more to deliver. Or no, I take that back. She's younger than that. The Cat Moves herself is she's only 8 years old. So there's plenty to come from this dam.
Yes, yeah, and where she started and everything, I'm pretty excited with, especially with a full winter like that. She's got a bright future ahead of her for sure.
I love it. Kelly, beyond, obviously you win an Iowa Derby, and that goes a long way to, making for a great meet and a great season, but a lot of things are going well. Maiden win as well on Monday, annual budget. Tell me about this one.
He's a pretty nice colt. We've liked him all along. We bought him in the sale last year, the Iowa bred sale. And when he came off the farm, they had high expectations for him. The first time he run, he didn't break real well, but if you've noticed the Iowa bred Tyler's Tribe, he's a really nice Iowa bred colt that I think he's won by double digits both times, win the open stake there on Saturday. So other than that, he's a really nice colt. Tim Martin's got a really nice Iowa brand that they can run about anywhere, looks like.
This one, this one's an upstart, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Mamas Thoroughbreds was the breeder, and you picked this one off for $15,500.
Yep. Mama's Thoroughbred, they've been here forever, and like I said, they're trying to scale down a little bit too, so they sold some babies in the sale last year, and this is the one we picked out. So for the price and everything, we got a pretty good deal on him, and we went a couple two-year-old races this year, and a couple of them have been upstarts, so been a good start for our baby program so far this year.
This one's out of a St. Liam mare and Ken Tohill aboard. You've been winning left and right. Rocky Mountain Brew was a maiden claiming winner. That goes back to Sunday, and then earlier last week, you just missed actually on Friday night. She Means Business in the allowance.
Right. Yeah. We run 6 horses this week. We went 3. Of course, the Iowa Derby, we had a great, great week. They all run real good. But we still had a couple of them that were, I think that she was 1-5 or something. It got beat. We run one yesterday that might have had just a little bit, didn't run very good either. So, but no, all in all, July has been spectacular for us.
Let's look ahead. I'm just taking a peek. Let's go Lacey. Looking forward to Saturday. This is a maiden. And I also want you to talk about Elvin Gonzalez, whose name might not be that familiar to people.
Well, first on Lacey, she's one of those fillies we've been wanting to stretch out, and the route races, the maiden route race, have been going. We run her short the other day. She ran a good race. So I'm really looking forward. I think she's got a good shot that she'll come back and be really, really competitive in this maiden race. And as far as Elvin goes, he came here about 3 years ago, I think. You know, he'd been around the Midwest. He'd run up Canterbury, New Mexico, and everything. And he got up, hooked up with agent Bobby Dean, who we do a lot of business with. And they just started clicking here a couple of years ago. And the kid can really ride. He's a very quiet kid. He don't say a whole lot. But he's a very strong rider, a strong finisher. And, you know, we've had some great success with him here the last couple of years.
Well, and it's got to be, a very nice result for him to win a race like the Iowa Derby.
Yeah, and if you look back at his stats at Hot Springs, I think he went 26 or 28 in Hot Springs, which is pretty tough to do. So, he's just getting his business built up here in the Midwest, and we have complete confidence in him when we leg him up that we're getting the job done if we can.
Good for him. He's looking for his first graded stake win in the U.S., and it feels like it might be in the offing. Well, Kelly, always terrific. Get an opportunity to give you a call, and I've been very close to getting Donnie back on. It feels like his barn has picked up some momentum after a dry patch.
Yeah. We both had a little bit of rough patch there in Hot Springs, but the spring-summer's been going a lot better for both of us, and she's all wolfing the state there, Churchill,
yep,
6 weeks ago, and she's been running good every time we run her over there against the heavy heads. So everything's picking up for us, and it's always good to talk to you because usually something good has happened whenever we get to talk to you.
And bringing the Von Hemels to the air is always one of my favorite visits. Kelly, well done. Congratulate the Shaddocks as well. And we'll be watching for Ain't Life Grand, who is shouldering his way, an Iowa bred, doing the nice things for the program, and clearly is going to get a shot somewhere along the line against Sirius Open Company, and already is now a two-time Open Company stake winner. Continued success. Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you very much.
Kelly Von Hemel, everybody. And you can follow. Kelly's on is on Twitter. And I think just under Kelly Von Hemel is how he's represented. Let me all right, if you want to follow Kelly. And really one of the great horse families, horseman families in Mid-American racing history. And, of course, their father, Don Von Hemel, and Donnie and Kelly. And there's others, right? There's a handful of other Von Hemels out there. And I just, as we were talking, I did pull up Cat Moves, and in fact, Tony Dutrow for Ned Evans. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the prioress. The prioress is what she won. She got beaten the test. 2009 prioress. And let me, 2009. Let's take a peek. Flashing with Richard Migliori. Mig, the winner of that 09 test, pretty prolific, was second, and Cat Moves was beaten actually as the 6-5 favorite. Mig was 9-2. August 8th, 2009. Yeah, this is some nice family, and I guess if you're gonna retain one broodmare, a broodmare that comes out of the Ned Evans history, that's a good choice. That prioress, let's glance at this prioress with Ramon. aboard. And was actually part of an entry, light green. I forgot, light green, wow. Had completely forgotten. That was a horse that Todd trained for Ned Evans. But Cat moves by 3/4 over her stablemate. May have to pull that up and watch that. Who else was in there that is familiar? Gabby's Golden Gal. Gabby's Golden Gal had a that says stumbled at the break. That was the Baffert filly that had upset the Acorn, right? Won the Acorn earlier in the year, if I'm not mistaken, at a big price. Hart Ashley was in this. She was nice. Selva, I think, was Davy Carroll. Davy Carroll, look at that. Tell you what, huh? Like a steel trap. not Andy Serling level when it comes to that. But there's certain names, you know, that just stick in your mind, right? All right, let's take a break. Top of hour two upon us. We got plenty to do. Gavin O'Connor's going to join us, and Chris Griffin. It's Dr. Penny Day at Parks. So we'll look at that race and catch up, having talked probably maybe 3 weeks or so. In the time we last spoke with Chris Griffin, I think he's only called at 4 racetracks since we spoke to him. Last. Back after this, hour two at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country